Hey there, special educator. Before we dive into today's episode, I have something exciting to share with you. If you've ever struggled with writing impact statements for your IEPs, and let's be honest here, what special educator hasn't found themselves at some point staring at a blank box and a blinking cursor wondering what in the world to type? My free guide is just what you need to get those brain juices flowing. Introducing Impact Statement Mastery, your step-by-step guide to writing personalized IEPs. This free guide is designed to help you craft impactful, personalized statements with ease. You'll get expert tips and strategies, easy-to-follow formats, and real-life examples that bring theory to life. It's absolutely free and a must-have for every special education teacher and related service provider. To get your copy, just visit www.spedprepacademy.com/impactstatements or check the link in the episode description. Now let's get started with today's episode.
You're listening to the Sped Prep Academy podcast. Your host, Jennifer Hofferberg, is an award-winning veteran special educator who shares her experience, knowledge, and passion to help other special educators survive and thrive in this profession. Join her and other guests as they share tips and tricks of the trade for the ever-crazy, completely overwhelming, laugh-so-you-don't-cry profession of being a special education teacher.
Well, welcome back. Today I have a guest who was the inspiration for this episode. But before we get to the interview, I want to share a quote that is the cornerstone of what we're going to discuss today. Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And in the world of education, I feel like it's all too easy to fall into that comparison trap, whether it's the beautifully organized classroom next door or the innovative teaching methods of a colleague across the district. Comparing ourselves to others can often leave us feeling very inadequate and insecure about ourselves. So to dig into this a little bit deeper and give you some tools to help you, I'm joined today by Alicia Tripp, a former teacher who recently shared a powerful message on Instagram that really resonated with me about the pitfalls of comparison in teaching, and it sparked a much needed conversation. So Alicia, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us today to shed light on this topic.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me.
Before we jump into all of the questions, I would like for you to share a little bit about your journey within the world of special education and specifically your experience with comparison.
Yeah, so I have a younger brother who has Down syndrome, and today's actually World Down Syndrome Day.
Right.
So a little shout out for that, the day that we're filming it. And so I obviously have been in kind of the world of disability and special education since a young age. And I remember going to my brother's like open houses or attending field trips, different things. And he's why I became a special education teacher. He was blessed to have some amazing special ed teachers along his path, and they inspired me and I wanted to be like them. So I got my credential and I taught third through fifth grade for 1 year special education. And then I taught fourth through sixth grade for 2 years. And then I went ahead and went back and got my early childhood education, special education authorization. And I taught early childhood for 3 years. And I taught specifically moderate to severe special education, students with the most severe needs. And now I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I still like to, you know, I still like to stay active in this community as much as possible. And I would say I've always kind of struggled with comparison in the different areas of my life. So when I became a special education teacher, a lot of things surfaced and created like a struggle with me, like comparing myself to the teacher next door or to the veteran teacher who had 20 years more experience than me. I'm very much a perfectionist. So that was at play too, of wanting to be the very best I could be and not really looking at necessarily what my strengths were or what their strengths were, but just looking at, I want to be like them.
Well, that's really inspiring about how your experience with your brother's teachers led you into special education. I always love hearing our stories of how we end up in this field, because I truly feel that God leads us to this. No matter how we get here, it's God telling us, you know, this is the way. And so it's a really neat story. But I totally get how comparison can be tough. It's like you're always trying to match up to someone else's standards, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, as they say. But the thing is, we all bring something unique to the table because of our backgrounds and because of our journeys. And our individuality is really what makes our work special. And it's and not how it stacks up against someone else. So I feel your pain with that. And I, you know, I do have a lot of experience. I have 28 years in this field. And so I know when I'm working with teachers, I can't expect them to be where I am now. So I feel like this is a very, not necessarily a timely topic, but I feel like it's a very, it's something that's going to touch all of us in our careers at some point. So can you share a personal experience where you found yourself comparing your teaching style or your classroom environment to others?
Well, the first thing that pops into my mind is I was so blessed to be able to go through student teaching, and I got to be a student teacher in a wonderful teacher's classroom. She, to me, was just like phenomenal. She had wonderful organization. Her classroom was decorated so pretty. She had a background in behavior management, so she like had very good behavior management. And then she also worked super well with her paraprofessionals and like had a great relationship with them. So when I got my first teaching job right out after student teaching, I wanted to be just like her. I, you know, I wanted to have a classroom that was very similar. I organized it the same way, and I even decorated it somewhat the same way. And guess what? None of that worked. It really turned into a disaster within my first like week or two. And it's because my students were not the same. Like, I had a very different type of student that I student taught with versus the students that I had in my first class. And so I like actually had to take down my classroom decorations because it was overstimulating to my students, and they were taking things off the walls and playing with them. And I had to restructure my classroom schedule because my students needed more time for things like toileting and for those life skills things, whereas the students that I student taught with didn't need that. And centers needed to be shorter. Instead of 15 minutes for work, they needed to be 5 minutes. So it just really, I felt like after that, comparing myself to my master teacher, I thought I was a failure because I was doing the same things, but nothing was working. And I thought it was me. And I it took a while for me to realize that it wasn't me, that it was the fact that I was just comparing myself, trying to be like another teacher, and I wasn't putting my students first. And I also wasn't looking at my skill set and what I'm good at. I was just kind of going through the motions and striving to be like someone else.
I feel like that's a tough realization to come to. So that's really great that you were able to kind of step out and see that it wasn't your fault, that your classroom wasn't like hers. And I worry sometimes that my daughter, she's a first year special education teacher, and I sometimes worry that she compares herself to me or to other teachers who've been in the field. And so I try to make sure and remind her constantly that your situation's different than mine. Plus, I have all of these years of experience. You're not going to be great right off the bat, and you have to learn. There's a lot of things that you just have to learn on the job. The other day she came and observed my former co-teacher, and she's like, Mindy has it a lot easier than I do. And I'm like, well, first of all, she's been doing it for 28 years. And second of all, her setup, she has LD students where you have high needs autistic students. So yeah, you have to just figure out your own way and your own path. So once you realized that was an issue for you, how did you overcome that challenge?
I think I just realized that, well, actually, there was a big moment for me because my professor who had been overseeing like my student teaching experience, he was on campus at the school that I was working my first year. And he just decided to pop in my classroom. And this was during a moment when everything was going wrong. And so I was very much humbled by that. And I was so embarrassed. And thankfully, things kind of settled and I was able to just talk to him briefly. And he was the one that actually pointed it out to me that, like, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just you're dealing with a very different population. Just like you said, you pointed out to your daughter. And I think that was the moment I realized I needed to be more student-centered. And so I realized that I can, you know, really look at my strengths, for example. And I think that was a big thing. Like, I have done some strengths tests and things in the past. And so looking at what are my strengths and using those to my advantage. For example, like, I'm a pretty organized person. Like, I love organizing, and I struggle with the more like managing my paraprofessionals or dealing with conflicts, which I think is a common thing with first year teachers. But I realized that I need to utilize those teachers that I'm comparing myself to and learn from their experiences, but also realize that they have that experience. And so I need to learn from them, and but not compare myself to them. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, you're so right. We all bring different things to the table, and you're right. We all do struggle with paraprofessionals at some point in our careers. That's just a given. I had a guest on a few weeks ago on episode 157. Her name was Lydia. Wow. And she was talking about that exact same thing. You know, starting out, she was managing her very first year. She was managing 13 or 14 paras. And so it was a huge struggle for her. So yeah, kudos for you for just realizing that we all have our strengths, we all have our weaknesses, and you have to learn from people who are going before you. Today is funny. I was listening to teachers talking about bulletin boards, and they were comparing their lack of creativity to another teacher's bulletin board that had a little weenie dog. You know, it was moving. It was they would change the weenie dog every couple of weeks to move closer into the bulletin board to say that we're almost to the end of the school year. So they were talking about that, and I thought that was funny because bulletin boards and organization and systems often become a point of comparison.
Yes, very much so. Now, I'm someone who I do love decorating bulletin boards, and I think it's so fun to like be creative and have that outlet. And it's kind of almost like a de-stressor for me. Like, my paraprofessionals always knew when I had an IEP that I was stressed out about and that I needed to be writing, because I would be decorating a bulletin board. They're like, you have an IEP coming up? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? They're like, well, you're decorating a bulletin board.
You're avoiding.
Yeah. But when I became a teacher, it was like 2014. And that's right when the teacher Instagrams were coming out and becoming really popular. And they kind of started out as like a way for teachers to share their blogs and their Teachers Pay Teachers resources. But I think they quickly became this big like comparison thing, and who can have the most extravagant bulletin board or decorated classroom. And it quickly became not at all about what's being taught, but like what your classroom looks like. And so that was my first year teaching, and I definitely fell into that of just wanting to have a beautiful classroom and one that was like picture perfect. And I think too, sometimes depending on the school you're at, like you might be also wanting to impress the parents of your students with your classroom and how pretty it is. And my classroom was really pretty, but it took me not very long to realize that it was not functional for my kids and that things were too bright. Like the bulletin boards were too bright. There was too much going on. They couldn't learn. And I know so many wonderful, wonderful special ed teachers, and I've been in their classrooms that are very plain, very simple. You would walk in and think, what's going on? They don't have anything on the walls, but they're like some of the best teachers, because they know that's not what their kids need. That's not what their students need. And if, you know, your students do want bulletin boards or they can handle that and you're not good with bulletin boards, then have your paraprofessional who loves doing that, have them hone in on that skill. Maybe that's not your skill set to do decorating, but maybe they would love to do that. So I think too, we just need to utilize the people that are given to us and in our lives and use their skills as well.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with that. I have an interest inventory that I give to my paras at the beginning of the year. And that's one of the questions. Are you creative? Do you like to create bulletin boards? I feel like I am creative, but I don't like to do that part. So my bulletin boards were always just the same throughout the year. And I don't know, I kind of felt like it was kind of a sense of stability for my kids. You know, things were always going to be the same, and I felt like they needed that. And so I never fell into that trap, but I fell into many other different comparison traps. But I feel like you have done a really good job of self-reflecting. And I think that is so important as educators, that we make sure that we are consistently self-reflecting. And so how do you feel like teachers can use self-reflection to focus on their own strengths and their own growth?
I'm a big journaler. Like in my morning, like quiet time, my prayer time, I like journal a lot. And I feel like during that time, a lot of those emotions or feelings can come out, and just, you know, checking my heart and seeing where I'm at and realizing I was created to be who I am, and God created me in a certain way and with certain skill sets, and I can't force myself to be someone I'm not. And that's like probably the biggest thing. And I'm still on that journey. And so like this carries over not just to teaching, but as a mom and as a wife. And, you know, I create resources on Teachers Pay Teachers, and it carries over into all areas. I think there's a fine line between pushing yourself to learn and be the best you can be, and then also just embracing who you are. And I think you need to be excellent as much as you can, but also just embrace that God created you a certain way, and that's okay if you're just who you are. So I think that's one big way that I self-reflect. And then also just setting realistic boundaries for myself. Like some Instagram accounts I just don't follow because I know how they made me feel. And on those days when you're stressed, you're tired, you had like a behavior issue that you had to handle, a parent's mad at you, you have to write an IEP, and then you're scrolling on Instagram and you see this perfect classroom, that could just do you in for the day and you just start crying. So I honestly, like, there's still accounts that I don't follow for all different areas of my life, because they just, I know the way they made me feel, and I didn't want to feel that way. They're beautiful accounts and they're beautiful people and they're doing a great job at what they do, but I just couldn't handle it. And same with Pinterest. Like when you're in one of those moods, maybe not going on Pinterest is the best thing, because you think you see like what everyone else is doing and you feel like you're not doing any of that, or you're not doing anything right. And so sometimes it's good just to sit down and write down the things you feel like you're doing right in your classroom and the things that are working well, and even get your paraprofessionals and your team to say like what's working well in our classroom right now, and look at those, and then go from there to slowly work on those weaknesses and areas that you want to grow in.
Oh, I think those are such good tips to definitely follow. I'm not a journaler. I love to write, but I'm not a journaler, but I'm a talker. Like I'll talk to myself in my car about how the things that went wrong during my day and the things that went well during my day. And then I try to just make a plan for the next day, because I can't keep it in. And so you're getting it out through journaling. I'm getting it out through talking, but that's so important just to get it out and to give it, you know, give it a name, give it words. So, and then, yeah, definitely setting those boundaries and keeping yourself off of social media so that you're not comparing yourself there. I think those are great tips. So just to wrap it all up, do you have a message that you would like to share with new teachers who are just, you know, just starting in special education or education in general, who might feel overwhelmed by the perceived successes of more experienced teachers?
I think you already touched on it a little bit with your daughter, but just everyone has to start somewhere. And I'm sure those veteran teachers have some stories for you. And so if you build relationships with them, hopefully, you know, they can kind of give you some wisdom and some help you kind of along the path. And they might be able to help you not make some mistakes, but at the same time, just remember that they're not the standard of what you should be. You're your own person, and your classroom is going to look different than theirs. There's practices that are, you know, obviously research-based, and those, you know, are great to implement. But those little things, you know, about your classroom, you want it to be unique. Just like our students are unique, and we are embracing them for who they are every single day, and we're teaching them individually, our class is going to be different just based on who we are and who they are. So just remember that and show yourself grace, because we got to show others grace and we need to show ourselves grace.
I love that. That's a very valuable point. Every special education teacher was once a beginner. We were all there. We're all in those shoes. We all faced our own struggles and we all had our own learning curves. So it's important to remember that, like you said, everybody's journey is unique. And totally agree, building relationships with those teachers is a fantastic way to learn and to grow. But it's, I think it's important not to to avoid using them as a benchmark for your own success. You know, don't compare and say, I want to be them when I grow up. You're going to have your own path, and you're going to use these interactions and these as opportunities to gather wisdom and just find your own path.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Alicia, for joining me and for sharing these important reminders to the listeners. I feel like just keep embracing your own journey and remember that your unique approach and perspective are what make you an incredible educator. So, Alicia, where can we find you if we want to learn more from you? I know that you're not in the classroom anymore, but you said you're still active on Instagram and you sell on TPT.
Yes, I sell on TPT, and I have two boys, one 7 months old and one's 3 years old. So I don't have a lot of time on my hands. So I go through like big periods of not posting anything and not posting any resources. But when I have time, I am on Facebook, Delightfully Dedicated Special Education. I'm on Instagram, and I have a blog, but it's delightfullydedicated.com, but I do not post a lot on that on there. But best place is Instagram for sure, Delightfully Dedicated.
And then the name of your TPT store is Delightfully Dedicated as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I will link all of those in the show notes so that we can, you know, find you out there in social media land. We're not going to compare ourselves to you, but we're going to.
Please don't.
Well, thank you again so much for joining me.
All right. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thanks for sticking with me until the end. I can tell that you are just as dedicated to the field of special education as I am. If you liked what you heard today, I'd love it if you'd head over to spedprepacademy.com/podcast to check out the show notes and sign up to be notified each time a new episode airs. Go out and have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next episode.